Yes. For every error, a bullet is fired.
Logan's for every best. Error, I'll kill you.
Yeah. Logan will throw a seed grenade.
Mm-hmm. I can't get over how cool those are.
Mm-hmm.
For real, though, don't fuck up.
Hello and welcome to the PC Gamer Podcast for Thursday, June 3rd, 2010. This is episode number 225, and I, Eric Belsas, will be your podcastatorial dictator for the next 70-something-ish minutes, provided I don't get overthrown. Today we'll be talking about the next Total War game is going back to its roots, a new Star Wars Online game is coming from Sony, and it's not Galaxies. Star Trek Online tries to patch up its universe. Company of Heroes Online is coming, and it's free? Valve has announced a mysterious portal cancellation at E3. Your questions, and what we're playing now, coming after that. I am your host, PC Gamer Senior Intern Eric Belsas, and sitting with me in our underground orbiting Jupiterian base today are Editor-in-Chief and Supreme Solar System... God, now I have to start over.
I'm going to put you to death.
Hey, I'm calling you first. This is what you ask for every single time.
This is not my concern. You blew it.
Yeah. I'm your host, PC Gamer Senior Intern Eric Belsas, and sitting with me in our underground orbiting Jupiterian base today are Editor-in-Chief and Supreme Solar System Sultan, Logan Decker.
That was hot.
Senior Editor and Laser Beams Technician, Evan Lottie.
I love gelato ice cream. It's really good.
It's delicious stuff.
Yeah.
Associate Editor and Designated Saboteur, Joshua Augustine.
Nice, I like that. I'm sneaking around bashing the other guy's space station in.
Designated Communications Officer and our producer, Andy Bauman.
Hello, Eric. Your headset sounds very nice today. Well done, thanks. Sir. What are you using?
It's a Psycho 5.1 crazy-looking headset.
Oh, the tubular headset.
Yeah, it's like tubular, but it has a nice microphone.
It's got a great pickup pattern on the microphone. It sounds like it's got a full, like, 20 to 20...
Say some numbers.
20
some
to
numbers.
20 range.
Impressive, yeah.
There you go.
That's good to hear. I mean, lots of gaming headsets are lacking in microphones.
It's true. They do.
Plus, it has tubules.
Tubules?
Yeah.
Yeah, it shoots sounds through tubes. It's featured in our 202nd issue, which subscribers should have gotten by now, so...
Cool.
Should be on newsstands, so.
It's interesting. Even, like, some really expensive headsets have, you know, really low response microphones. So it's like, they'll only go to about, what, like 10 kilohertz instead of like 50 kilohertz or something.
It's expensive.
Cool.
And last, but certainly not least, our intern / protocol droid / human fax machine, Robert Hathorn.
That is fantastic. I'll be shutting down for a while, if you don't mind, sir.
I think Eric has taken some of Robert's hurts.
Yeah, it totally sounds that way, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So what are you, Robert, what are you using?
I'm using this Microsoft LifeChat LX3000.
That LifeChat?
Wow.
Absolutely. Eric threw it at me before the podcast.
Well, there's
he said, use this.
He had to piece it together with duct tape just to keep
LifeChat.
It on his head.
LifeChat.
So no wonder it sounds like you're on the Indian help support line.
Yeah, do I sound that good?
Yes.
Life chat sounds like a sentence, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Life chat.
Forever.
Wow. All right.
One of the best sounding headsets, though, that I've had, Norm down at Maximum PC used to use this, like, really just crazy, like, no frills Logitech, like, bare bones, and it had such a nice microphone.
Who knew? All right. I'd say it's time to talk some news. Like a new Total War game, Creative Assembly has confirmed that their next title is Shogun Total War 2 and is going to have hero units, which has never been done before, plus siege and naval battles.
Ninjas!
Now, I don't know about you guys, but I have really fond memories of the original Shogun. Just that massive scale combat like it had never been done before. You guys looking forward to this?
Absolutely. On a different kind of maybe level than, I don't know, maybe most other fans, because I'm just a not a very strategic person, and I'm just basically a total war criminal, because all I really wanted to do, because you know how big the battles were, all I would do was the minimum amount of, you know, what I had to do to get a war going, and just watch everybody die. Wow. You know, so it's like sea monkeys, basically. It's digital sea monkeys. You set everyone against each other, and then you let them go, and you give them no orders, and just watch everything descend into a chaos.
That's something special, Logan.
I'm just saying the way I have a good time.
That's just like taking The Sims torture and just putting it on a massive scale.
Yeah, exactly.
You take away their outhouses, too, and just see what they do.
Yeah, you know, and watch everything just descend into chaos and hell.
Have you guys seen the teaser trailer for Shogun 2?
No.
So no, I have not.
It's I think it's live action, if I recall correctly.
Oh, cool.
It's basically a samurai stabbing a map, the katana. Pretty sweet.
Yeah.
I can dig that.
I mean,
having just rewatched Three Ninjas over the weekend, I can say that I'm very excited.
Yeah.
No, you did it. Oh, my God.
But there's, yes. I mean, there's like this cool like woodblock Japanese art, and then bam, sword in the map.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah, I'm excited for the setting. Total War games never did a whole lot for me. I'm kind of like Logan. I just don't really have the patience for that level of strategy. But it'll be fun. I'll get in there just because of samurais and ninjas and have some fun with that.
But what if when you play Total War, you're actually doing the outcome of the actual wars in the old time through like a time loop, like they do it on the Game Gear is doing in Three Ninjas?
Oh. He's then like, God save us all.
He's like seeing the actual world.
I mean, how can I say no then?
That would be meta.
Then basically the amphibians are going to take over.
I would just cancel whatever war there was and send the ninjas to America so they would be here ready to aid us when we arrive.
There you go. Oh, wow. See, that's thinking outside.
Just have them make colonies,
Yeah. In the trees. But they just leap around to and from.
Yeah, I mean, this is basically where the montage kicks in, where you see like Washington crossing the Delaware, and it like Washington is replaced with a ninja, and then like the Lincoln Monument replaced by a ninja.
It has like shurikens in it.
Mm-hmm. No, see, it's George Washington on the boat, but the camera pans out and there's 20 ninjas swimming under the boat, escorting. Nice.
Like wood reeds sticking up.
Yes.
One throws a shuriken across the Potomac.
Man, ninjas really are coming back. Zombies got pretty overdone. I don't know, maybe mummies are next. I don't know.
Yeah. Pirates never fully got embraced. I mean, the movie kind of made them big for a little bit, but I could see a nice pirate revolution.
I really need like,
you know, mummies pretty much wrapped about a decade ago.
We really need a line graph to sort of inform us of the popularity over time.
Okay, well, moving on.
Do ninja babies cry?
No, they steal the tears of other babies and put it on their face so they blend in with the rest of
us.
Wow. That was good.
Fantastic.
Holy crap. Fantastic.
That is beautiful.
That was great.
All right, well, Sony Online Entertainment has announced a new online Star Wars game, Star Wars Clone Wars Adventures. Now, Josh, I'm not really completely sure what it is, but you've seen it, right?
Yeah. I saw it just this past week. A lot of people are calling it an MMO. I don't think I would go that far. You do have like a persistent avatar. If you're familiar with Free World or Free Realms, it's similar in principle without all the open world stuff. It's basically a portal to a lot of mini games, and there are lobbies where you can be a character running around, and like you can have a droid with you, and you can buy your droid an upgrade that might maybe runs up to another player and zaps him from behind, or puts out oil that'll cause someone to slip. But a lot of it, the meat of the game is just a ton of mini games, and there's a pretty decent variety. There's like a fighter pilot, there's tower defense, and it's directed towards kids, but there are challenge modes, because they obviously know a lot of adults, like me, are going to be playing this game. It's browser-based. I can't remember if we already said that. The best game, though, that I think everyone here can appreciate is called Stunt Gungan. And the premise of it
oh, God.
Is it's Jar Jar Binks in, like,
Elbow Please let me hurt him. Head. Please let me hurt him. Oh, yes.
Oh. You're going to hurt him over and over and over again. It starts off Jar Jar Binks in elbow pad, helmet, and like knee pads, I think. And basically, you push him, and then he starts spinning through, and there's a series of explosives all around, and your job is to steer Jar Jar into explosions that propel him further. And so you just try and keep him bouncing from explosion to explosion until he finally face plants at the end. Not dead, but pretty much dead.
because they don't want to kill Jar Jar Binks, but as close as we can get to killing him.
Don't say LucasArts doesn't listen to the community.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is fan service for sure.
Yeah. I was fortunate to check it out as well. And I have to say, all the mini games were just like, they just got something right. And I'm not even that much of a Star Wars fan. They're just all the mini games that have like kind of hooked me over the years. And, it's kind of like a giant, sort of like Plants vs. Zombies in the Star Wars universe. Cause it's just all kinds of new things are always popping up, even though it's a kind of familiar mini games, you know? And they always kind of like wrung out a nice twist, you know, out of it.
Yeah,
so it was definitely not a throwaway or a kind of like, here, let's just shove all these games out. They really tuned it well, I think.
Yeah, they really took like the best kind of concepts behind the popular Flash games of the past like decade and basically tweaked them enough to make it new and fresh, like Logan was saying, and really made them high quality. I was surprisingly impressed. I didn't have super high hopes looking at it because it is, you know, just a kid's game. And some of the games are pretty simple, but the challenge modes do help keep it interesting.
Good to see Sony doing Star Wars Online right the second time around, I guess. Another Star Wars franchise in space.
Is that a mistake?
What?
I thought you just sort of stumbled a bit there.
Yeah,
right there.
I smelled one.
I smelled it.
What did I tell you about? What did I tell you about mistakes? None. That's what
right.
I said.
Yeah, right. I'm basically playing Hangman right now on my notepad.
You just lost a leg.
I will be doing fingers. Like, that's how I play Hangman. That's the convention. So.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
All right. Well, speaking of space games online, Cryptic has just released the Season 1 Common Ground update for Star Trek Online, which adds Federation versus Federation PvP, off-duty uniforms, some new missions, purchasable new races, and some other stuff. Is this going to get any of you guys back in there playing again?
I know Dan. It's a bummer he couldn't be here today. He's actually been jumping back in there and trying it out again. I'm kind of waiting on his verdict before I jump back in there, just because there's so many MMOs to play. I'm waiting for him to just give me the go-ahead. It seems like a decent amount of content. It seems like a lot of stuff that the community was asking for. So, I mean, if it's as good as it looks on their page, I mean, it could be just what the game needs.
As I recall, at launch, the game was pretty devoid of endgame content, right?
Yeah. Yeah, there was, I think, one endgame boss, and that was about it.
Okay, so, maybe this is the answer to what the community's been crying out for.
Yeah, the one thing that's very noticeably missing is more Klingon content, because that was one of my biggest complaints, is they had two factions, and one is totally worthless. There's nothing to do, and it doesn't seem like they've added much other than more PvP content, which is what Klingons already had. So I'm hoping that's coming in a future update.
Do you think that's why they added Federation versus Federation PvP? People didn't want to play Klingons or what?
Yeah, I'm 90% sure that's a very good sign of what happened. Because I tried playing Klingon, and even they give you good incentives if you like PvP, because you get overpowered ships and you're just better than Federation ships in PvP. And that's kind of their way of balancing it out, but that sucks for Federation because they don't want to go up against people that are overpowered all the time. So I think this helps the Federation play on more even level ground. And yeah, there probably weren't enough Klingons around.
This is a really significant patch. I mean, it's the notes for this are extensive. It's about 3,600 words worth of changes and explanations and rebalancing and UI changes have been pretty significant. So if you put Star Trek down, I think now is the time to sort of take a second look. It's worth examining again, it seems like.
Yeah, definitely. And they actually just came out, was it today or yesterday? It was the 3rd. So today, update 2 launched, which added a few more changes to it. So yeah, definitely. I mean, at least look through the patch notes. For whatever reason you stopped playing the game, look at the patch notes. It's more than likely that it was addressed, and it might be worth jumping back in, or at least, you know, jumping on the forums, talking with your friends that still play, just to see if what you didn't like about the game has been fixed, because it looks like they fixed a lot. Oh, and there's also an air guitar emote available in the store now.
Hell yeah.
It's about pretty, time.
Yeah, worth picking up again just for that.
I just hope it takes into account like my phaser rifle. Like I just want that to become the guitar.
Yes.
Every boy's dream. Every Vulcan boy's dream.
Do they even have guitars in Star Trek? Like, haven't they moved on to like nanobot guitars or something?
I don't know. In the series, they always had like kind of weird replacements for common day things, like 3D chess. You guys probably remember that.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, yeah. I guess they do have the holodeck, though, so they could always go back in time and play some classic Spanish guitar on the beach or something.
Yeah, a lot of the characters played instruments.
What did Jean-Luc Picard play?
Flute.
Wait, that's a very sensitive instrument.
Played nice. Flute, record, played trombone. It's kind of, you know, to represent like the future is more cultured and everybody knows astrophysics and 12 other bits of culture. Anyway.
I was going to say he knows how to play the Tommy gun.
You've seen that GIF too, haven't you?
Yes.
Portal 2 had an E3 event, but Valve recently sent out an email that, well, I'll read it for you here. Dear subject name, Aperture Science is pleased to inform you that we have partnered with Valve to announce the gala cancellation of the June 14th Portal 2 event at the Regal Theater. This event will be replaced by a surprise. And even though the cancellation of the event certainly counts as a surprise, we are pleased to further announce that the cancellation of the event is not the surprise. However, per international treaties regarding the definition of the word surprise, of which both Aperture Science and Valve are signatories, the time, date, and content of the actual surprise will only become available to you as you experience the surprise. Wow.
Jesus, are they like Douglas Adams fanboys over there or something?
That's a press release.
Yeah.
I think this is just kind of like more PR for Portal 2, but Robert, you have different thoughts.
This is the announcement of Half-Life 2 Episode 3. I have no doubts it's going to be in the blue box or the green box. I don't really care which, but this is definitely Episode 3. I've predicted it the last three E3s, and I feel like this is definitely the one. This is the one. This is groundless.
Now this is Left 4 Dead 3. Just kidding.
I think we'd have a lot of boycotters. Any other thoughts on this? Or
I don't think it's going to be Episode 3.
I don't think so either. I have no basis for that other than I've given up on that. So.
You guys don't know how wrong you are.
I hope I'm wrong. I truly do. I mean, just for the fact that I have to hear about it every single day, people asking if we know anything, when it's coming out, and whenever we mention something Valve related, people are like, they don't even respond to what we're talking about. It's just like, where's episode 3? I'm sad. Where is it? It's been so long. And it's like, we don't know. Nobody knows. It's an utter secret, and you know there's zero information available on it. So I don't know.
I'll tell you what. We'll tell you when we do know, though. I'm sure.
So if it is Half-Life 2 Episode 3, is Portal going to be like intertwined with it, or do you guys think Portal's going to stay off on its own kind of series?
Well, from what we know of Portal 2, it takes place way in the future compared to Portal 1. You've been in, like, stasis, I guess. So I think it's feasible that the series could meet somehow. I mean, Black Mesa is referenced in Portal 1, so we know they exist in the same universe. I think it's feasible they could cross paths.
I don't think... Well, you just think in terms of the distinct mechanics both games have. They wouldn't want to make one game instead of making two. I mean, straight up, there might be some crossover, but they're not going to merge them.
Yeah.
Ever.
Gordon
Freeman's story is his own, and it's super precious to Valve, I'm sure.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So precious, they don't want to finish it.
Kind of.
Yeah, I mean look honestly. What happened to Lost. Like, what the hell was that, right? Why do we need to finish?
I like that ending.
All good things.
Anyhow, we probably shouldn't get started on Lost here. So we've got an interesting announcement from Relic. Company of Heroes Online is coming, and it's free to play. Holy cow, Evan, what's going on here?
Yeah, so this is potentially a confusing story. I'll try and break it down for y'all so you can understand. So Company of Heroes Online is something that has existed in Asia for a few years. This almost is an MMO, like a persistent world strategy game, so to speak. And, you know, that's been operating exclusively in Asia for a few years, I think since 2006. But the new version of the game is different. You know, it is developed by Relic. The first one was developed with Relic and a Chinese developer. It's going to be going into, I think it already is in open beta in Korea, about to go into open beta in China. And it's going to be released in the US
and Canada in September. So what it is, it's still a strategy game. It's going to be free to play, and the only thing they're going to be charging for is unique items. I'm not sure if that includes units and maps and things like that. We're not quite sure, but basically the persistency, how it comes into play, is you're going to create a general character, a general, and you're going to earn experience and new abilities. There's basically going to be a skill tree over time, presumably, like to bring in units or artillery or things like that. And that's pretty much how it's going to progress. It's still going to be kind of a similar experience, as I understand it. Probably more multiplayer oriented than single player, of course, but really exciting. I mean, more Company of Heroes. We weren't really sure what the next form that game was going to take, whether it was going to be like a new era, like Company of Heroes, Modern Warfare or something, but just really good to see what the next thing Relic is up to.
Yeah. And actually the Korean version, does have a full single player campaign, but I guess the Chinese version does not. So it'll be really interesting to see kind of what elements they pull over. And it sounds like you can choose different generals too, so almost like different classes in an MMO. So you can pick like the airstrike general or the ground rush
or
general.
A tank commander, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you guys ever play Age of Empires 3?
Yes.
Yeah.
It kind of had a similar thing where you have your town or your city. You know, yeah, you would call in your cards that you had. So you had like reinforcement cards and just different like upgrade cards and stuff for whenever you went online. So it sounds a lot like that. But did you mention how they were doing their money? Like, how are they going to make money?
Well, they're certainly going to sell. I mean, like Battlefield Heroes, for example, they're going to be selling items that help you boost your leveling rate and things like that.
Yeah.
But in terms of like the precise, like what's going to be sold, you know, is it units or items or maps or modes or...
So it is like a microtransaction.
I'm not sure, but I think it's important to understand, like, this isn't like a dumbed down version of Company of Heroes. It really looks and feels, from what we've seen, there's a trailer out there on the internet, if you can track it down, looks and feels like the same game we've been playing for the past few years.
Yeah.
Same bar of quality, so to speak. So, and you know, supports 8-player multiplayer. It's not like they're dumbing it down to a Farmville or something kind of iteration to be free to play. It's still going to be a very PC game. And
yeah, it's not Company Heroes Light, like I was saying last week. Like it's totally the same game.
Hey, this is Alex Cull calling from Doylestown, Pennsylvania. I'm curious if anyone on the PC Gamer staff has ever used, tried, or even owns the NVIDIA 3D Vision glasses. I'm really curious if they are what they're made out to be, or not just a $200 backup for next time the NFL decides to publish a Super Bowl commercial that's basically based off of throwing things at me. Thanks in advance, and great work on the podcast. It's a great touch to really an already awesome magazine.
Here's the thing about the 3D glasses. You really got to try them. The review helps. Reviews help when you know, when you want to decide between choosing between different technologies. Like I thought that, like IZ3D is a display that, you use polarized lenses with. I didn't think so much of that one. Setup, however, is really spectacular. It works tremendously well, but it's also very expensive. You have to keep in mind that you're not just paying for the glasses, but you also need a monitor that can run at 120 hertz. It is highly unlikely that the LCD you have now will do that. And they are more expensive than 60 hertz displays. So you have to factor in the cost of the glasses, the displays, and I think NVIDIA is still selling a bundle of a really nice Samsung display with the glasses for about 600, but also the max res of the display, I believe, is... Please don't quote me on this, but it's, you know, around 1024, 1280 by 1024, I think. So even then, no, it's higher, right?
It's 1680 by 1050 is the one we have
right,
in the
that's
office.
That's right.
Yeah.
So you know, you're going to max out at 1680 by 1050 native resolution. So that's kind of, and you're paying more for it. So that hurts.
What about those TVs? There's a TV that's 1920 by 1080. It's 1080p. That has 120 from a Samsung. Can you use it on that, or is that not
absolutely
interfaced?
You can't, but I bet it's, I don't know how expensive it would be, but I bet it's a lot.
It's like a grand, probably.
Exactly, yeah. So, you know, so there is that. So all that is really, really hurtful. You know, there are games that are made for the 3D glasses are wonderful. Games that are simply adapted to make use of them, after the fact are okay. But I have to say, I can't really talk too much about them right now, but I will be able to after E3. But I saw some amazing 3D crap going down with games that are coming up that have been coded to take advantage of the glasses. And they're pretty spectacular. It is really impressive work that's being done. I still got to say, though, it wouldn't get me out of my seat and to pay that much for the setup, especially if I was maxing out at 1680 by 1050 and knowing that you need a video card that's pretty zippy because you have to generate two frames for every one in a classic, in a traditional game.
Mm-hmm.
You're not quite having your performance, but, you know, you're asking a lot more of your video card than you would normally. And I can't say that it's worth it to me yet. I don't see the, it's just not as big a deal for me.
Yeah.
Is there any hardware on the way that we should be looking at this E3 that maybe you can't talk about that maybe he should wait to buy something? Like, is there anything that's like...
Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
To me, the trend I'm much more interested in are the mind control headsets that are getting every year. I swear they're getting better and better. And it's my fantasy of the ultimate in sedentary living where you don't even have to move now. You just lie in your bed and you think, and then you're having a good time. And, you know, as I think a year and a half ago, I was playing a game when I was doing a visit at the Emotive Systems, emotiv.com, I believe.
Yeah.
The Emotive headset. And they're like, okay, you see that bridge? There was a collapsed bridge, and they said, reassemble it. And I just had this goofy headset on, and I'm like, okay. And I just started thinking about reassembling it, and pieces begin to, you know, cobble themselves together, and it happens. And I walk across the bridge, and I'm doing all these kinds of things, and I had never touched the headset before. Never. And, you know, every year they're getting a little bit better and better. And, you know, whereas the 3D thing, it's really fun. But, you know, I just don't think it's there for me in terms of being worth the money and the effort. And another thing for me is that the glasses always make games a couple shades darker than they were.
Yeah, you do lose like a few stops. It's weird.
That drives me nuts.
Yeah, me too.
Because, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I always have all my displays at maximum brightness.
Not always, but they're up there. Like, I like... Yeah.
So it's not like you can't really crank up the brightness that much more anyway. You know, in some games you can, but it drives me nuts to have it be more dark and lose that contrast.
That's a problem with films, too.
I mean, it is very much true. Like, up?
Yeah,
you know,
the projectors are, like, not... bright enough yet.
That kind of pissed me off because I would take the glasses off during up and it would be so much more vivid, you know. Mm-hmm. But the thing is that if you can go to like a store selling the Envision glasses, and if you put them on, if you look at something and you're like, holy God, you know, then you know, okay, it's worth it. But for me, that's not the feeling I get. I look at it and I think that's cool, that's really fun, but $600 worth, and for all the, you know, the trade-offs you have, the lower resolution, higher system requirements, that kind of kills it for me for now. But I'll let you know, the prices are only going to go down and the technology is only going to get better.
There's another question here that's sort of like along the same lines of proprietary technology put out there by a company that's logo is green.
Hey, PC Gamer, this is Brian from Toronto, and my question is about which video card I should buy next. Specifically, I'm wondering whether you think PhysX is a must-have. We just bought an ATI Radeon HD 5850 for my wife, and we're both extremely impressed with the performance. But we tried playing Mirror's Edge, and the frame rate plummeted into the single digits whenever a window shattered. I'm hesitant to go with the NVIDIA GeForce 470 GTX, which is my runner-up choice, because it runs a lot hotter and it's more expensive, but at least it has PhysX. What's your recommendation here? I'd hate to spend big bucks on a shiny new PC just to be disqualified from enjoying physics-enhanced games. So thanks very much, and kudos on the magazine, which I just resubscribed to thanks to your awesome podcast. Take it easy.
I would say physics enhanced is maybe a stretch even. If you just bought an HD 5850, which can run pretty much any modern game at a good clip, the only reason you're experiencing such slowdown is because you have physics turned on when you're playing Mirror's Edge. If you turn it off, yes, it's different. The flags don't flap quite as convincingly. The glass doesn't shatter quite as magnificently. But you're not losing gameplay. And for me, If you've already invested in a nice new generation card, I would say it's not worth investing all over again just to get those physics effects.
I agree, especially because the 5850 is such a great card.
It is. I run two of them at home and have zero issues. I had one small issue with Blur recently where it ran under 20 frames, but everything else, it's been brilliant.
It's like the GeForce 8800. You know, it's just one of those magical cards that just hit the perfect balance between price and performance, you know?
Bingo. Yep.
And the thing is it's true. There's only one game I can think of where I thought PhysX really added something, and it, like Eric said, it still wasn't really gameplay. It was Arkham Asylum.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, okay, I thought they did it so well. It added so much to the atmosphere. I did appreciate it, but it still was not at all integral to the gameplay. But here's a little tip that you might be able to take advantage of. If you have an older GeForce card, you may be able to use that, as long as it's the 8000 series or above, as a supplemental PhysX card. Now, it used to be that you couldn't do that because, the drivers, NVIDIA had drivers that wouldn't allow you to do it. But there was a big outcry about that, when people found out that their cards, their PhysX and their GeForce cards were actually being disabled if they had and also had an ATI card in their system. Now the NVIDIA's position is still that, you know, well, we, you know, reliability is our responsibility and we still don't think that it's a good idea to do that. But they have re-uploaded on their website, the old beta driver that does allow it. So they've removed the disabling of the PhysX effects. So you can now experiment with that and see if it works for you to enable PhysX, to a degree where the performance is acceptable in Mirror's Edge. So just go to the NVIDIA website and, you know, look on their driver site for the beta driver that enables PhysX when an ATI card is present.
That's cool. I have an 8800 just sitting around. I should put it back in.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of Arkham Asylum, though, are you guys aware and do you know that they released like a weird 3D version where it just does parallax 3D?
It does anaglyph, right?
Or anaglyph, like, sorry. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
oh,
like.
God, I wouldn't. What a nightmare.
Amber and teal glasses.
Yeah, did they have a PC version? Do you know?
That's the Game of the Year edition of Arkham Asylum. I don't think it was released on PC. I think just the Xbox and 360.
Who'd want to do that for more than 10 minutes?
I think they only have it at like a few parts.
Anaglyph, for people, listeners who might not know, is that's the classic one with the colored, gels on your eyes.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the cellophane, red, blue, that kind of thing.
That's
and
funny.
It's the goofiest one.
You lose all your color.
There's three systems. There's the red blue, which is anaglyph. There's polarized. I can't remember the official name, but one uses polarized lenses and
active shutter.
Active shutter. And that, no, active shutter.
Is the third one, yeah, which has glasses that literally act like shutters, blinking on and off so fast you can't detect it. That's the best but most expensive version, and the glasses are much heavier too.
Yes, because they have power supplies.
Yeah, and that's the Envision kind, but they're wireless, which is nice too.
Oh, cool.
I think they are. Shoot, no, maybe
yeah.
not.
Yeah, yes, they're wireless.
They yeah, right.
They have a USB port and charge. So
right.
Cool. There's one more question.
Dun dun dun. Cool.
Hey guys, it's Tim from Michigan. I was just wondering if you could be any video game character, who would you be? Personally, I would be Gordon Freeman, just because he's that awesome. Thanks.
But he is screwed through just about every game. He's not having a good time.
But what have you created, Gordon? You've only destroyed.
Very good. He's so easy to impress yourself onto, right? I mean, he's we don't know much about him other than he was an MIT scientist and... I mean, you just kind of see yourself. It's a good example of, like, I don't know, putting less distance between a character's like narrative and just like sort of adopt, like having to fill their shoes. Whereas in Half-Life 2, I feel like my actions create Gordon's personality almost, like rising to the occasion of who you are. It's less like more showing, less telling,
or something like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But I don't know. Who would I be?
I'm going to have to stick with what we talked about a couple weeks ago about what game world we wanted to live in and go with Guybrush. He is the man.
Good choice.
But have you seen his hair?
Yeah. Have you seen his beard? That's what I want, man.
Whoa.
That scruff he's got going on and those nice fine leather jackets. That's what I need.
Yeah, those nice fine leather jackets pale in comparison to the nano suit that I am wearing. All right?
Nice, nice.
And it doesn't matter if you're in another zip code because I can pick up a chicken and hit you with it from that distance.
Maximum.
You don't
chicken.
Have the charisma to talk your way out of tough situations.
I don't have to talk my way out of
maximum
tough situations.
Jump.
I mean, because I have crabs.
Logan has maximum poultry.
Maximum poultry. Damn it. That's amazing.
So yeah, that's where I'm at. It's got everything you want. You can jump, leap tall buildings in a single bound. You can become invisible and, you know, goose people. Or what's that thing? What's that thing in Japan where you put your finger into somebody's butt? You know, there's a word for it. It's like this thing that kids do, really young kids do on the train, and it's really annoying because they really hard, they stick their finger.
Credit card swipe?
In your butt through your clothes. And actually, they like put their finger in your butt. That's the goal.
Wow.
And it's like, it's a painful and uncomfortable experience. And it's, you know, you don't expect it because you're on the subway.
Japan.
Yeah, and it's a big, there's a name for it, and they're trying to, like, crack down on it, but it's really little kids who are into it, so it's hard to, you know, get them to stop. But you can do that in the nanos. Yeah.
I want to see the sign that indicates that that's prohibited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would be a Mass Effect 2 club dancer, just dancing all day. Poorly animated. Kind of...
Like a 4-second loop.
It's really awkward, just like
Bad mocap. Every once in a while, go to the bar, drink poison, come back.
Get poison, yeah.
Nice. No, it's not as bad animation. It's just that the whole point is that you're like, you've taken some sort of club drug.
Mm.
So basically, you're just like, trancing. That's what it is.
Gotcha. Okay.
You know? Yeah.
I'm open to that.
Yeah.
What about you guys?
I would be the Witcher, because he's such a badass. Geralt.
How do you feel about white hair? The white hair is just, I don't know.
I think it's inevitable in my future anyway, because my dad has white hair, and he got it when he was like 25, so I'm just going to have to live that one, live it with it.
Embrace it.
I
like that.
I'll have to embrace it and become...
You don't have Grecian formula in The Witcher?
Plus, he's got cat eyes, dude. Like the vertical slits.
That is pretty cool. That is cool.
Yeah.
I would love to be in a bar, and you take off your sunglasses,
and
right?
You're like,
you've got cat eyes.
Yeah.
And they're like, whoa.
Plus, he has... lots of sex.
Wow. I think I would have to be, oh God, what? Ezio de Firenze?
Oh, nice.
Okay. That's
like, whatever the Assassin's Creed tune, it's very Italian.
Yes.
But just like at will be like, I want to be on top of that building. Climb, climb, climb. Now I'm going to jump into a hay cart like 700 feet below me. All right. Like, that seems like a pretty cool life. And you get to kill people on occasion. Keep it interesting. Plus, you're best friends with Da Vinci.
Yes. Who makes you cool crap.
Yeah, so you're flying around on his gliders and stuff.
Da Vinci is your arms dealer.
Basically.
Yeah.
You know, that seems like a pretty good life to me.
Roberts. I wouldn't mind being maybe Flemeth or even the Archdemon from Dragon Age. Actually, I will definitely go with the Archdemon. I just like the idea of being able to chill in a wall of rock for a few thousand years and then bursting forth as a dragon and taking over the world. That's just that's something I aspire to.
By Pansy Alistair, and that's just
no. I mean, I get that. So you're basically like the medieval equivalent of Kool-Aid Man.
Exactly.
Nice.
Exactly.
That happened.
Cool.
We are on the same page. Absolutely.
Oh my God, I've got it. It's Concho. Kancho.
Wow.
Mm. And I got it from a blog called Tofugo. TOFUGU.com. And this woman has written a guide to defending your butt from Japanese children.
How is this not like on the internet? Like,
Caitlin studies Japanese in her free time and works as a contract web geek. And then, she's got a guide to defending yourself from Concho.
Just like metal plate armor.
You don't need it, but it's good to know that.
Oh my god! Little kids here are adept at Concho for two reasons. First, they're just little kids. This means that they're small, fast, and have developed no sense of empathy or shame.
Oh man.
Children have no shame.
They're small, fast, and have no developed small and fast.
Those are the worst.
This has to be one of the low points for the PC Gamer podcast.
Well, we know what the name of this one is.
But there's so much more going on here. She says, but wait, that's not all. There is, and then bullets, the boob grab, the boob punch, the crotch grab, the stomach butt punch, the face slap, and bite.
What does that mean?
The stomach butt punch.
Are you punching them with your butt in the stomach?
And it's worse. It's worse. I didn't describe it right. It's not just a finger, right? What they do is you put both, like imagine you're making a gun.
I don't want to imagine this at all.
Where you pretend you have a gun, you know?
Okay.
Now put both hands together. It lock both lock your fingers together except your index fingers.
I'm playing at
home. That's the Concho.
Oh man, that's pretty bad.
Both hands.
My god.
And she's got videos on her site.
These kids showing stopped.
Showing not even Santa is safe.
Wait, how do I spell this so I can name the podcast Concho?
All Santa getting Concho.
it's like the equivalent of the technique in Kill Bill where it's like you hit touch a person.
Totally.
And then they die.
It's the two-handed finger Concho technique.
TOFUGU.com.
So what is
here's her advice is wear baggy clothing. Keep your back to the wall. Know where your students are at all times. This is good for prison, too, mind you. You know? 4 is take a hostage. What does she mean by that?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. And she says, she's got to be a World of Warcrafter because she says it decreases all frontal attacks.
Oh, nice.
Nullifies boob grab, boob punch, and biting.
Oh, do you know there's a concho.org?
This is actually... sorry, Logan.
Final advice is hide in the teacher's room. Nullifies all attacks. Beware of the rogue who can still attack but will suffer later on.
Oh my god.
So should we bring Concho to the stakes?
No. Why do you need to ask that question?
Because we can own it and brand it, you know?
Oh boy!
I'm not clicking that link you just put in there, Robert.
Concho Fest or
it's Boonga Boonga. It's a Korean and Japanese arcade game. It's described as the first arcade game that combines assaulting assholes and fortune telling.
Whoa! So- oh my god! Oh my god!
I had such high hopes for my first podcast.
I feel like the words got ripped right right out of my mouth.
What have we done? What have we done?
This is not the planet I thought I knew.
I am stopping this right here, right now. We're jumping straight.
6-foot magical monster made out of turd. Its corporate mascot is a 6-foot magical monster made out of turd.
That would get a 10 on ratemypoo.com.
All right, we're stopping.
You ever
this.
Seen the movie Monstered?
Logan.
Sorry. Okay.
Okay.
Check IMDb, Monstered.
Wow.
Gordon Ma-ung downstairs at MaxPC has a cameo in Monstered.
No.
Yes, he does.
No.
Yes, he gets killed by it. Yeah.
I am Netflixing right now.
Speaking of cameos. The theme song is like number 2. It's funny.
Mm. Sorry. All right. Let's everyone take a deep breath.
I'm sorry.
And move on to playlists.
This is not what I wanted either. I'm just saying.
All right. Well, we'll start with you, Logan. What games have you been gaming?
Well, it's embarrassing. I mean, it's not like Boonga Boonga. it's not, and I'm quoting, virtual digital rectal stimulation simulation. I started playing Splinter Cell Conviction. Everyone's like, oh yeah, it's like 5-6 hours.
Oh my god, Gordon is totally on the IMDb credits.
Yes, I told you. God, nobody believes anything I say anymore. I wonder why. And so if it's such a short game, why, like, am I 11 hours in and I'm still in there? I'm just glad I'm not defending this country's freedom. Yeah, I'll tell you that much.
You're very cautious, to put it generously, right?
Yeah. Mm. And I've been playing it's not quite out yet, but we're doing a preview on it. our own Mr. Robert Haythorne is doing the preview, but it's a cool, very sort of Blade Runner-esque story adventure game called, but the name just kills me every time.
Boryokudan?
Yeah, something.
He actually says that will change in the final build. I think he's working on a new name for it. Yeah.
It's a mouthful. Boryokudan something or other. But it's a very, very intriguing story with the classic, you know, 8-bitty adventure type graphics. But the story is quite good. So yeah, I've been making way slowly through that. And now I finally, this weekend I plan to attack my Blur versus Split Second, race off.
Evan, what have you done gaming?
Concho!
Sorry.
No, but I have been playing, Alpha Protocol came out this week, by the way. Hey, that's cool.
I know. I'm going to play it.
It's been getting a lot of bad reviews. I've been a little surprised. I mean, not totally unexpected, but just, you know, I was talking with some people on Steam and on our Ventrilo server while we were playing Arma last night, and they're like, yeah, I'm just really let down by it. I mean, I guess
Did you reviewed it?
I didn't actually. Oh. But I previewed it multiple times. I played it through in various stages, effectively like 2 or 3 times. And, okay, so you are fighting basically the same enemy throughout the entire game. Let's just get that out there. There's one enemy, you fight them. It's, you know, they're basically these, you know, dumb guards that you fought in other games. But the story, I'm really caught up in it. I mean, just maybe it's the contemporary setting, but, you know, it's Mass Effect with spies to some extent. Not the same structure in terms of exploring, you know, areas and gathering crew members. There's no party system, but the script is really sharp. You know, Chris Avellone, one of the writers on original Fallout games and worked on Neverwinter Nights, really some great dialogue, some fun dialogue. And, you know, if you're intrigued by a contemporary game set in a contemporary setting, you're willing to deal with some pretty average gameplay, check it out, I'd say.
I am a little bit into it already, and it didn't really do much for me yet, but then again, neither did Mass Effect when I started that, yeah. So I'm going to stick with it, definitely.
Admittedly, the opening two levels, before the world branches out a little bit, so you start off and you're basically, like, there's a pretty significant, like, tutorial and training section. That's pretty boring, and the one that follows that is kind of, I don't know, it's like a desert mission, set of desert missions that are a little tedious, but after that, the intrigue starts picking up, bless you, and it breaks out after that. So don't listen to the reviews too much, I'd say. It's worth checking out. So other than that, I'm going to be replaying again this weekend. Had an awesome Arma 2 game last night. We discovered this neat little mod on our server. It's called Real Tournament, kind of a play on Unreal Tournament. And how it works is if you played like Rocket Arena in Quake, it's basically a series of one-on-one matches where you and like up to 16 people, it auto-generates like a bracket. So it's like one-on-one matches in Arma, which are surprisingly really intense and dramatic because, you know, it's usually one or two bullets until somebody's down and everybody else is betting on who's going to win the match. So, you know, we're all in Ventrilo and we're, you know, talking over who's going to be playing who, and has this like dramatic introduction where it shows like a custom cut scene with everybody's character, lined up in a row, and, just a fun little thing. Let's see. Still playing a little bit of Torchlight here and there. Just love the presentation on Torchlight in general. It's such a relaxing game to play. Sort of wind down with. And we're going to have a pretty nice feature coming out next month in our issue about the making of Torchlight that I'm excited about.
Josh, next. What are you up to?
I've been up to many things. This weekend was basically Mass Effect weekend. Going through the original again and just, every moment I spend in there, I just love it so much more. And it makes me a little sad that I'm gonna have to jump to Mass Effect 2 once I'm done with it. But that's really fun.
So you haven't done Mass Effect 2?
No, yeah. I have.
Oh God, I was just
I already played
you. I wish I could be back there.
No,
I do. I want to go back to before I played it.
I know. It's depressing. And so the first one, it's just like, oh man, like there's so much potential. Like the inventory system and the vehicle system are all flawed,
yeah,
but they're a good idea. And it's just depressing to go into 2 and be like, oh, they just stripped it out completely. Like, they didn't even try to fix it, because it's fun inherently. But yeah, so it's just, but it's that bittersweet feeling like, oh, this is so good, but you know it's coming to an end soon.
Yeah.
So other than that, I've been playing tons of WoW as always. I've been trying my best not to talk about it, but I've been super into my Fury Warrior recently. Doing arena with my buddy, and I finally got into Ice Crown Citadel for the first time a couple weeks ago. And so I've been doing that every week. You can do it once a week, so that's really fun. Haven't gotten up to the Lich King yet, but I'm looking forward to trying to get that done before Cataclysm. And then for the past like 3 days, I've done nothing but play League of Legends, and it is amazing. And I'm kind of nervous because last time I got into League of Legends, it consumed my life for about 6 months. So I'm having really fun in there playing with Eric and his brother, and then a couple guys off Twitter as well, Blameful Gecko. I played with him for a couple hours last night. It's really fun.
Blameful Gecko.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he's a really cool guy, and so it's really fun just kind of meeting readers and fans of the podcast in-game and just kind of meeting up for a couple hours and playing and talking on Skype and stuff. So, I mean, if you're in the game playing League of Legends, I highly recommend it. It's free to play, so you can jump in even if you without paying any money. Go ahead and add me. My name is Nereus7, N-E-R-E-U-S 7. Yeah, and we can get some games in, because I would love to have more teammates.
Josh is really good at the game, by the way.
He's quite good.
He crushes people.
That's why, he wants you in there. He wants to kill you.
Oh, be on the same team. We'll crush non-Coconut Monkey believers.
All right. Andy, what have you been playing?
I've been playing more Battlefield Bad Company 2 again. Got back into that, and boy, I missed it. It's such a good game. I'm really looking forward to playing Alpha Protocol, though, as soon as I can get a hold of that this weekend. And, man, I'm looking forward to that game, actually, probably more than anybody else in the world. Yeah. Maybe I'll be the only Alpha Protocol fanboy there is.
So I'm curious. It's been a while since I've jumped back into Bad Company 2. Are the servers better? Does auto balance work now?
No. I don't suspect it does. Although the shielded turret guns that mounted like 50 calibers with the shields, the glass now works for me, so I can see through them, which is a big change, I'd say.
It's always a positive, you know?
Yeah, it's quite amazing. It's one of those, you know what the buzzword is, like abilities. It's like they abilities me with that, and now I feel like that I can really use them, whereas before I couldn't.
Abilities. Yeah. File that away, gentlemen.
Oh, that's one of those buzzwords that's been around. I don't know what else to report on.
Robert, what have you been playing?
So, over the Memorial Day weekend, I went to this place called Outside. Spent most of my time out there.
What?
Did you level up?
A few levels. Not much. Got a little sunburn. So, I just couldn't handle it. So, I went back into my cave, and I've actually only been playing one game. Well, two. I've been playing Age of Empires 3, the Asian Dynasties expansion. It only came out 3 years ago, so I'm keeping up. But I really love it. I just love slower-paced strategy games, so this is right up my alley. I'm just loving getting back into Age of Empires at all, and it's sad to think that we may never see another Age of Empires. So that's been a lot of fun. Also been playing Atmosphere. It's Atmosphir. It's a little web game. It's free. As far as I know, it's a free-to-play model. They're in beta right now. But basically what it is it's a set of tools that are pretty easy to use, kind of geared towards the younger audience. And you build your own levels. You build your own worlds. And it's got multiplayer component where you can build multiplayer levels. For the most part, you can only build like platformers, stuff like that. But I spent 30 minutes shooting up 8 and 12-year-olds. So, I mean, that was fun for me. But it has potential, I think. And in the forums, they're looking for suggestions. You know, what would the community like to see added to the tool set? Stuff like that. So it does have some potential.
Very cool. Myself, been playing some WoW. Still working my way toward level 80. I played a couple game of Settlers 7 multiplayer. I need to get back into that game because it's fantastic. And I really do enjoy it whenever I play it. I just... it seems to me every time I play it, I either pretty handedly beat my opponent or just get my face kicked in. So I'm lacking in even matches.
What's your strategy? Religion? Gold?
Actually, yeah. Well, religion is how you research science.
What? That's not how it works.
You send monks off to the cloister and they study a bunch of stuff and tell you the results.
But they hate science. Okay, sorry.
That's okay. And it seems like people tend to go military and not so much trading or science. So I try to go pretty heavy science with enough military to just protect me. And yeah, it seems to either work out really well or not at all. So I'll develop more strategies. Hopefully we can get some of you guys in there playing multiplayer. But Beat Hazard, which is a game I talked about a couple of weeks ago, added support for DRM'd music that you can play on your computer, which is awesome because I have a lot of music through Zune, which now plays. So I've been that's a great like cool down or warm up. You just get in there, play through a couple songs, watch some crazy explosions and laser beams. It's a lot of fun. Wow, my playlist is long. BBC recently released the first adventure game in their free Doctor Who series. So far, I'm not very far into it. So far, it seems really cool. In order to download it, you'll have to go behind a British proxy. Which is very hard to do. You can just Google it. But it's a great little adventure game for any Doctor Who fans out there. And last but certainly not least, as Josh mentioned before, I and my brother have been playing some League of Legends, which is a great Dota-like game if you've never heard of it. And we're having a blast. It's really fun to get back in there, team up, talk to each other, really get good team play going. So yeah, that's what I've been playing.
What's the DRM like on that Doctor Who game? I mean, do they check if you have like a tea bag near your computer or is there like a crumpet check?
A crumpet?
Scone check.
You have to insert a scone into your CD drive.
Mm-hmm.
Your avatar name must have a U in it.
Okay.
OU.
Cool.
Yeah, but it seems like a really well-made and it's made on the British pound. I mean, like, the government developed or paid for the development of this game.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, we make army games that brainwash our youth, and they make sci-fi.
Listeners, we want to know your deepest, darkest secrets, and answer your every single question. So please send us a message in MP3 format to PCGamerPodcast@gmail.com or call us toll-free at 877-404, like the error, 1337, because we're elite, extension 724, which spells PCG, and record your questions on the phone. Keep them to under a minute or we'll cut you off. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/PCGamerMagazine. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/PCGamer. You can follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/Belsas. And yes, that was just a completely shameless plug for myself.
What a whore.
Basically.
You harlot. Two mistakes.
If you care about the continued existence of your planet, you'll become a subscriber to our wonderful magazine. Just head over to PCGamer.com and fill out our fancy subscription form, and we'll happily send you the best PC gaming magazine in the existence of the world every month. On behalf of us here at PC Gamer, I have a goodbye limerick. Just after getting out my tonsils, I fell down some very deep potholes. I thought, am I cursed? No, things could be worse. I could be gaming on consoles. Have a good day, everyone.
Oh, Jesus.
That was amazing. Oh, burn.
That was amazing.
Oh, burn.
My.
It's like set up.
It's like my world is totally, like, justified now.
I'm glad you did that.
I live in a better place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? I wasn't sure about it, but I figured, you know,
because it justifies anything I do from this point on.
I mean, Shakespeare was a PC gamer, wasn't he?
Absolutely, he was.
Great.
So was Catherine the Great.
Look how she turned out.
Oh, yeah, boy.
She's great.
No, Catherine the Great was good stuff.
She must have loved Red Dead Redemption, though.
Did you concho her?
Not me.
You can put that in your bio.
So, bro, you concho that? You conchoing that yet?
I have four beverages here.
Oh, Josh, four? you and your JKs.
Awesome. JKs.
What are you even drinking, Logan?
I have iced tea from Trader Joe's. I have a cup of coffee. And I have a large IKEA thing of water. And I have this ginger tea for my throat. Because unlike all you other pussies, I'm doing this even though my recent hantavirus exposure has left my throat scorched.
Wow.
Damn, that was butch. The giggle was not as butch.
Yeah.
Pretty
exciting, actually.
Yeah, but since I bought the game like 6 years ago, I want my money back. That was a rip-off.